Good evening, everyone. I say good evening, everyone. The Lord bless you today. Amen. Amen in your life. In our churches. In Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our workers' training tonight. We're asking, Lord, that the word will fall on fertile ground today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're asking, Lord, that these words who are going to speak to us will empower us, Amen. Energize us, Amen. Make us fruitful, Amen. Make us strong, Amen. That we'll go out in the strength of the Spirit of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Do wonders in every heart, in every home, in every family, every house fellowship. Let there be great revival in your church in Jesus' name. We bless your name because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. We're looking at Mark chapter 16. And I'm reading here from verse 14. Mark chapter 16. Reading from verse 14. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them, that means he rebuked them, for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ confronting his own disciples, talking to those disciples. You understand, Jesus Christ had died 3 days earlier, had been buried, and he rose again triumphantly. And he had appeared to some disciples. Those disciples, men and women, have reported back to the disciples, the other disciples, that Christ is risen. But they had unbelief and they had hardness of heart. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And he had told them over and over before he died, he was going to die, he was going to be killed. And then they thought they would rise up again. And then the word had been fulfilled, but they didn't believe. And so he rebuked them. He always rebukes of unbelief. If there's unbelief in our heart, unbelief in our ministry, unbelief in the work we're doing, he doesn't want that. He rebukes that. But you see, after the rebuke, those people got the rebuke, and he turned around. Things changed. Look at verse 15 now. And he said unto them, unto those same people, unbelief is gone. From your heart, unbelief is gone. Hardness of heart is gone in Jesus' name. And immediately, now look at what he said unto them. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These bunch of people, and the people that appeared unbelieving just a few moments ago, the Lord is giving them the great commission now. And he says, go ye into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, and preach this gospel, this good news, the word of grace and the word of salvation unto every creature. Then he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. As you have believed on the Lord, you need to be baptized in water. And I hope you have gone through that water baptism, because it says, whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who does not believe will be damned. Now we come to verse 17. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. I want you to understand those words. He wasn't talking about the apostles here now, because he said the apostles should go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, these are the apostles, and these are the creatures they are preaching to. And as they preach to them, some of them believe. And he says, those who believe and are baptized, they will be saved. Now he says, he that believeth and is baptized, saved, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the them? Those converts, the Christians, those who have now received the word of God and they have received Christ, it's not just talking about the apostles. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the believers today? I said, who are the believers today? Thank God I'm a believer. And he says, these shall follow them that believe. Then he says, in my name, they who are the believers, shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They, the believers, shall take up serpents. They, the believers, if they drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. And he says, and they shall lay their hands on the sick. Who are they laying their hands on the sick? The believers. And they shall recover. So then, in verse 19, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Look at this, verse 20. And they went forth. He said, go and teach the whole nation. Go and preach the gospel unto every creature. And it says in verse 20, they went forth. They were no more unbelieving. They were no more doubting. They were no more having hardness of heart. And they were no more disobedient. They obeyed the Lord. They are going to obey the Lord. They went forth and they preached. Where did they preach? Everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming their word with signs following. And everybody said, amen. Tonight, we're looking at the word of God on fervently praying with faith for signs following. Fervently praying. We're praying because he told them to pray. And then we need to pray fervently. We need to pray with importunity. We need to pray with faith for signs following. These signs shall follow them that believe. The last verses of this Mark, which we read now, are for the church from the beginning of the church to the last days of the church on earth. There are preachers that would rather omit these verses of scripture. And they are saying that, well, these verses are not that important. And actually, they don't find it in their own manuscripts. But you know, as you look at these verses, they are present in the rest of the New Testament. You find it in Matthew, you find Mark, you find Luke, you find in John, you find in the epistles. All the details here you can find in every other part of the New Testament. While the church is careless, I mean the church at large, and even sometimes our church, and we're complacent without these signs, false prophets are deceiving multitudes of people with counterfeit signs and lying wonders. Look at what the false prophets are doing. And Jesus said they will do that, that those false prophets will do that. And then the church itself, that is the church of the living God, the church that ought to have the signs following after them, they are careless and they are nonchalant and they are complacent. But look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading from verse 24. It says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. The false prophets will show great signs and wonders, and it is the church that ought to be showing those signs, because they say these signs shall follow them that believe. It says, in my name, they cast out devils. In my name, they speak with new tongues. In my name, if they drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. In my name, they take up serpents and they throw them away. In my name, they lay hands on the sick and they recover. But the church is not doing what the church is called up to do. And now the false prophets are taking over. And it says, these false prophets, they will show signs, not just ordinary signs, great signs. They will show wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And Jesus said, verse 25, behold, I have told you before. And if the false prophets are doing that, we are rising up and we're doing what we ought to do. The signs shall follow us in Jesus' name. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're reading from verse 13. It says in verse 13, it says, for such are false apostles, they are false prophets, they are false Christs, they are false pastors, the false apostles, and he says the deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That is, they pretend they are apostles of Christ, and they show signs and they show wonders. And it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great sin if his ministers, ministers of Satan, preachers for Satan, and those who have the spirit of the Antichrist, it says it's no great sin if they be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. According to their works. Works of deception and works of destruction. They're destroying many souls and many lives. And it is because the church is not waking up. The church is not doing what it ought to do. So these false prophets and these false apostles, they're rising up and they're showing the signs, false signs that the church ought to be showing. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Reading from verse 9. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, who is with all power and signs and what kind of wonders? Lying wonders. It's a, you know, they tell lies and they deceive and they destroy these souls. And it says, it's with the working of Satan. And it's with all the power and the signs and the lying wonders. And it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them, God shall permit for them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, should believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That is, they keep in unrighteousness, they keep their iniquity, they keep their sins, they are not born again, they are not children of God, and somehow, with the spirit of Satan and the powers of darkness, they're showing the people that there are signs, there are wonders, there are miracles, and they're showing those miracles, and the church is folding its hand, and the church is not having the signs and the wonders, and yet the Lord had given us the promise, and he had said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It says, in my name, they cast out devils. It's going to happen. In my name, he said, you speak with new tongues, it will happen through you. He said, in my name, you take off servants. They take off servants. Those serpents are there, those snakes are there, spiritual and physical, and we throw them away. They will not harm us in Jesus' name. And it says, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And then they will lay their hands on the sick. Hands on the sick. You have hands to lay on the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. Now, if these things have been promised by the Lord, why are we not having them? Why are we not seeing them? Because we are not praying for them. Because we are not expecting them. Because we are not praying and saying, oh Lord, you promised this, and because you promised this, I ought to have, I ought to manifest. Look at what the Lord had said in Ezekiel chapter 36, reading from verse 37. Ezekiel chapter 36, reading from verse 37. Open your Bible, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 37. Thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I've given the promise, yet the church, the Israel of God, must pray. I've given the proclamation, I've declared the prophecy, yet the people of God must seek my face and they must pray. That's why it says, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for all these promises I've given, I will yet for all these prophecies I've proclaimed, I will yet for all these pronouncements I've declared unto them, I yet be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. We're coming to Luke chapter 11. We ought to pray. We ought to pray for the fulfillment of the promises of God. We ought to pray for the demonstration of what the Lord had said will happen, that the church, the people of God, will believe that in his name, this is what they will do. Look at Luke chapter 11, reading from verse 8. In Luke chapter 11, verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, asking and asking until we receive, asking until we can manifest, asking until we demonstrate, asking until those gifts are given to us and we actually possess it. Says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. You see, if you count yourself out, if you say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, and so I don't expect that. He didn't just say the apostle, he said, these signs shall follow them that do what? Them that do what? That believe. And if you know you're a believer, you're a child of God, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, what will happen? And you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For verse 10, tell me it aloud. Are you part of this? Are sisters part of this? As fellowship leaders, are we part of this? Workers, are we part of this? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, tell me, it shall be opened. We knock, and it's going to be opened. It will be opened in Jesus' name. Look at what the early church did after the Lord had promised them. You are going to see these signs going into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then he said, the signs shall follow them that believe. Look at what he did. Acts chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 29. Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They were praying to God. Because if we pray, God will answer. And if you pray tonight, God will answer your prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's the first thing, because he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, Lord, we need boldness, we need confidence, we need power, we need strength, we need conviction. And give us this kind of boldness so that we'll declare your word in every street corner. We'll declare your word in every place. We'll declare your word anywhere we find ourselves. And we'll declare that word with all boldness. And look at the rest of the prayer. Verse 30. By stretching forth thy hand to do what? To heal. And that what? Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. That's exactly what Christ had promised. In my name they'll cast out devils. In my name they'll take off serpents. In my name they will, if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. In my name they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And now the people, they are praying that you'll stretch forth your hand so that there be healing. You stretch forth your hand so that there be signs and wonders done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You can tell them from all these scriptures that we have read that we need to pray. We need to seek the face of the Lord so that this promise of the Lord will be fulfilled in your life. Will be fulfilled in your local church. Will be fulfilled in our church at large in Jesus' name. The message tonight, fervently praying with faith for signs following. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the supplication with consecration for the believer's signs. The believer's signs. They are the signs for the believers. These are the manifestations of the Spirit of God for every believer. And we need to pray that supplication. We need to consecrate. Supplication with consecration for the believer's signs. Point number two, the source of confirmation with breakthrough signs. These are signs that give us the breakthrough. Breakthrough in church growth. Breakthrough in evangelism. Breakthrough in discipleship. Breakthrough in the growth of the church. Breakthrough signs. The source of confirmation with breakthrough signs. Point number three, the seal. Not zeal, the seal of continuation, a stamp of approval that God gives for continuation for biblical signs. The seal of the continuation of biblical science. We come to point number one. Point number one, our supplication with consecration for believers' signs. We're coming back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I'm reading here from verse 17. Look at what the Lord is telling us. It says, "And these things shall follow them that believe." Understand that word and links you up to the previous verses. If we sit at home, we're not going out. If we sit at home, we're not preaching the gospel. If we sit at home, we're not contacting anybody. If we sit at home, we're only in our local churches. We're not reaching the people that the Lord is sending us to. The signs will not follow. That something follows or shadow follows you while you're moving. But if you stand still, if you're staying there, if you're not doing anything, you're not knocking at any door, you're not preaching the gospel to anybody, the signs will not follow. It says, and what that means is that you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then those who believe and they are baptized, they are saved. Those people are the ones that will have, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall cast out devils. I want you to understand, when the original Bible was written, all these punctuation marks were not there. And so you can, let me read this to you two ways. Number one, look at this. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is transformed. You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a transformation has taken place in your heart and in your life. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And then because of that, they shall cast out devils. Because of that, they shall speak with new tongues. Because of that, they will take up serpents. Because of that, they will, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Because of that, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Read it the other way now, which is the way everybody has been reading it. These signs shall follow them that believe. You have believed. That means you believe the promises of God. You believe the word of God. You believe that the word of God is settled forever and ever. You believe the promises, that those promises are yours, that whatsoever you bind here on earth, they're bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, they're loosed in heaven. These signs shall follow them that believe. I've given you many promises. I've given you many things. I've also accomplished on the cross of Calvary. If you believe Calvary, if you believe the atonement, if you believe my work, if you believe the promises I've given you, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Because if they ask anything in my name, I will do it. And tonight, if you ask anything in his name, he will do it. He will answer your prayer. You don't have to be waiting for, you know, waiting for somebody to come and pray so that this will happen. You will pray and something good will happen. Because these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. You'll not be running away when you see a demon-possessed person. The word of authority will come out of your mouth. You will cast out those devils. It says they shall speak with new tongues. If it has not happened yet, it will happen. Your tongue will speak a new language. And it says they shall take up serpents, because it will give you power over all the serpents, so march on them. You'll tread on them and they will not bother you in Jesus' name. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Poison will not kill you. I said poison will not kill you. Then it says they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. The supplication with consecration for the believer's signs. But understand, underline the words, them that believe. It doesn't matter their title. The only thing that matters is them that believe. It doesn't matter whether they are new in the church or they are old in the church. The qualification is them that believe. It doesn't matter whether they are house fellowship leaders or they are local church pastors or they are group pastors or region overseers or state overseers. Them that believe. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 23. Mark chapter 9, reading from verse Verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, he wasn't an apostle, and Jesus said unto him, he was meeting Christ for the first time, and Jesus said unto him, this was like a new convert, and Jesus said unto him, this wasn't somebody that had read the whole Bible and had gone through everything that we have gone through. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Looks like my name ought to be there. I said your name ought to be there. Yes. If thou canst believe, can you believe? Yes. Do you believe Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you believe he's able to do all things? Yes. Do you believe that his power is irresistible? Do you believe that he finished everything on the cross of Calvary? If you carry that faith and carry that belief to any time you are praying and you have any problem, if thou canst believe, how many things are possible? All things are possible to him that believeth. Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm reading here from verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. You see that? This sign shall follow them that believe. All the Lord is waiting for, all the Lord is looking for, is that you will believe. And as you believe, heaven will confirm your prayer. Amen. Heaven will make your prayer a decree. Amen. And nothing will resist it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Unto who? Amen. I said unto who? If you take this and you know that the Lord is speaking to you, it's not a partial Christ, it's not a partial Savior, how can you say it unto him and not say it to you? How can you say it to her and not say it to you? How can you say it just only to me and not to you? This is for everyone that believes in him. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's just one person here, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Amen. That is everything Jesus did, you'll be able to do. Amen. All those miracles he performed, you'll be able to perform. Amen. Do you believe that in your heart? Amen. Do you believe that in your mind? Amen. Do you know that this is possible? Amen. It will be done. Amen. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. You see that? Because he says, he that this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. And he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do. Will he fail? Can he do it? Does he still work miracles? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask, tell me. If ye ask, tell me out aloud. Anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to claim it personally. If I ask anything, if I ask anything, if I ask anything, next time when I meet with any challenge, I'm coming with this promise of God, and I'm going to face that challenge, that if I ask anything in his name, he will do it. In the dead of the night when there's nobody there, and in your community when there's nobody there, and that challenge is facing you like that, and then you say, I wish so and so were here, I wish such and such were here, then you remember, I have a promise that is given to me personally. This is yours. Are you there? I said, this is yours. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. And look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 22. Mark chapter 11. And we're reading from verse 22. It says in verse 22, Jesus answering says unto them, have faith in God. Maybe you have heard this before, and the original says, have the faith of God. The faith that caused the things would be not as though they were. The faith that created everything you can see, everything visible, everything in the universe. He created everything from what was not even present. And he says, have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, who is that? Do you really believe that? Why did you challenge your problems when those problems came? Why were you folding your hand? Why were you closing your mouth? Why is it you didn't remember? This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. And Jesus here says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, thank God now I have somebody there who can move the mountain. I said there's somebody in the house today who can move the mountain. It says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Shall not doubt in his heart. When you say the word, when you speak the word, when you proclaim the word, when you offer the prayer, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. I will have whatsoever I say. Therefore, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. What will happen? And you shall have them. You'll have them in Jesus' name. The signs will follow them that believe. We're coming to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Remember, we're talking of supplication with consecration. You have committed your life to the Lord. You have consecrated your life to the Lord. And you are totally sold to the Lord. Absolutely surrendered unto the Lord. His will is what you want to do. His word is what you want to preach. His ministry is what you want to carry out. And he said, these people, if they make their supplication with prayer, the Lord will answer. I'm so happy that the Lord is going to begin to answer your prayers in a new way from today. In Luke chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 5. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. Well, if you stop because of that, if you go back because of that, you have nothing. And it's midnight, and you don't have anything, and there's no other source from which you can have, from where you can have what you're demanding. But look at verse 8, but I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of what? Because of his what? That means you knock, it's not open yet, knock again. You ask, it's not given, ask again. You seek, you've not found, seek again. And you keep on knocking. Before time goes, the Lord will give it to you. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. As many as he needeth. Looks like your time has come. You're going to have in Jesus' name. But you must be importunate. Never give up. Never give up. You ask and keep on asking. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I'm reading from verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought what? men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's talking about asking for the same thing that is you have asked. It has not been given. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't say maybe it's not the will of God. Look at the promise of God. These things shall follow them that believe. In my name they must cast out devils. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. You prayed for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's not been given. Go ahead and pray again. It's going to be done. And in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Seeing there was in the city a church which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. There's a widow, no husband, no helper, no supporter, and nobody to help her. You know, there are some people like that today. They say, well, look at my condition, and if they are not helping me, if nobody is coming to help me, then I don't have anything at all. This widow said, although there's nobody, I'm going to get what I want. I'm going to get what I desire. I pray that God will give you this confidence and boldness of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And he would not, the judge would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, look at this, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow does what? Troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect? You are an elect of God. You're a believer, a child of God. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. And he says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? That's prayer. That's importunate prayer. That's asking the Lord. That's saying, no, this problem will not remain. This mountain will not remain. This demonic attack will not remain on this other person. And he says, you cry to him day and night, though he bear long was them. And then he says, I tell you that you will avenge them. Give me the word there, speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Son of Man is coming. Where is your faith? Is your faith only deposited in the, you know, with the prayer warriors? Yeah, I have faith in them. Let them pray for me. If they pray for me, everything will be all right. He wants you to have the faith yourself. And by the grace of God from tonight, you have the faith in Jesus' name. We're looking at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'm reading here from verse 19. Matthew chapter 17. We're reading from verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? They had brought a demon-possessed boy to the disciples, and they all, the nine of them, because three of them went with the Lord Jesus Christ to the Mount of Transfiguration. And the nine of them prayed and prayed and prayed. There was no answer. And when Jesus came, the man will not give up. The man said, I brought my boy to your disciples, and they could do nothing. If you can do anything, help us. And with one word, Jesus cast out the evil spirit. Where others are failed, you will succeed. Yeah. What he said, I couldn't do that. You say, by the grace of God, I have the name of Jesus. I can, I must, I will do it. You'll do it in Jesus' name. Yeah. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. They said, why couldn't we do that? With one word of authority, you cast out the evil spirit, and we could not. Why couldn't we? He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say, who will say? I said, who will say? Remember what you are learning here on Saturday. When you go back home, when you go back to your house fellowship, when you go back to your community, you practice it. You practice, and it's going to be effective. It says, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Yes. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Yes. Look up here, look up here. You remember when you first started school and you were learning the multiplication table? It's like, this is impossible. And you looked at the back of that exercise book and they say 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, 3 times 1, 3 times 2, 3 times what? And 7 times this, 7 times 7, and this, and then 12 times 12. What's 12 times 12? Somebody there? 144. The first time you look at the multiplication table, it's like, how did they expect somebody to know all this? And then the teacher carried a stick. 2 times 2. Then somebody says 4. 2 times 3. And then they point at you. Even the way they mentioned it, everything is flown away from your mind. And then say, you are not serious. You never learn. You never know anything. But how many knows? How many people now know 2 times 3? Somebody there today? What's 2 times 3? What's 7 times 7? What's 8 times 9? Praise the Lord. Now, because, you know, we've read and read and read, now we know it. Thank God I know it. I said, thank God I know it. What I'm saying is this. When Jesus said that nothing shall be impossible unto you, it appears that it's unattainable. You wake up in the morning, although you don't know it yet, although you don't see it yet, nothing shall be impossible unto me. You go on the way, you remember, you recall, nothing shall be impossible unto me. Your mind may not accept it. Your mind may not believe it. It may appear to say, oh, you are deceiving yourself. How can you say, you of all people, nothing shall be impossible unto me? And then in the evening, before you sleep, you say, praise the Lord. If I will speak to any mountain, nothing shall be impossible unto me. And then you confront a mountain. When you confront that, when you pray, you say, in Jesus' name, mountain move. The mountain is still there. The problem is still there. You say, it doesn't matter. I know nothing shall be impossible unto me. One day your day will come. Yeah. I said your day will come. Yeah. And then you come now with confidence, say, now my day has come. Anybody there? Yeah. My day has come. And you tell that problem of a mountain, come out in Jesus' name. Yeah. Lo and behold, it has happened. And then you understand, although at the beginning when you read it, it was like, how is somebody going to do this? How will this be possible? But your day will come. But keep on repeating to yourself, and it says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. It will happen in Jesus' name. In my life, it will happen. In my ministry, it will happen. In my house fellowship, it will happen. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Can you read that with me? How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now some people say, that's my problem, I cannot fast. Yes you can. You may not be able to fast for a long time. You know, we take a little step at a time, a little step at a time. If you know you could not fast, you cannot fast for 7 days, why not fast for just from morning till 12 noon? And then you meet breakfast and you delay your breakfast, that's still fasting. And then later, after you mastered that, then you can go to 3 p.m. and it's going to be easier. And then you can go to 6 p.m. You might do that one day at a time. And just that one day at a time, if you're a beginner and you have from morning till 12 noon and you are not eating, and you're saying, oh Lord, I'm waiting on you. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. You will run, you will not be weary. And you will walk, you will not faint in Jesus' name. But understand, if you're saying, I will do it, you never do it. But when you say, all right, next week, at this particular time, I will wait on the Lord. Doesn't mean you'll not go to work. You'll go to work. You do whatever you're doing. If you're going to fast from morning till 12 noon, all that period, although you're at work, your mind is settled on an item of prayer. You're saying, oh God, this is a mountain that must go. This is a problem that must go. And then by 12, before you break, you go and pray. You say, Lord, I brought all this before you, and I know you are going to do it. If you're going to do it till 3 p.m., then at that 3 p.m., you say, Lord, finally now, this problem will go. And it will go. If you're going to do it till, till 6 p.m., then at 6 p.m. this problem must go. It will go. It may be on your child. It may be on yourself. It may be in your house fellowship. Problems are going to be solved in Jesus' name. Remember, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. The expected signs. What are those signs? Number one, casting out devils. Casting out devils. They will go out. Number two, it says you will speak with new tongues. New language. I said new language. It will come in Jesus' name. Number three, they'll take up. Not take up means take off. That means the serpent is there. Instead of that serpent hurting you, you will tread on serpents and scorpions in Jesus' name. Did I have an amen there? And it says, they shall, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. It doesn't mean that you are going to say, okay, I'm going to test it. I'm going to go and take a rat poison. No, it's not deliberate. If accidentally anything happens like that, you will not die. Look up here. I say, you will not die. The Lord will preserve your life in Jesus' name. And then you lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then the greater works will be done in your life. And then there will be special, special miracles. Special, special miracles. Look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. I'm reading from verse 11. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Amen. Point number two now, the source of confirmation with breakthrough signs. The source of confirmation with breakthrough signs. How do these things happen? And what is the source of the signs and wonders? We're coming to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I'm reading from verses 19 and 20. So we see the source, and we see the origin, and we see the spring from where the signs and the wonders and the miracles will flow out. And it's going to flow out. Your life is going to flow out. Your ministry is going to flow out. Look at it. Mark chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And sat on the right hand of God. Notice that. And sat on the right hand of God. Put your finger there, but come to Acts chapter 2. I'm still coming back to Mark chapter 16. But where is Christ now? I said from that passage, verse 19, where is Christ now? On the right hand of God. Look at this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 33. Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. You see that? He's gone to the right hand side of God, and he's staying there, and he's still there. And because he's on the right hand side of God, being by the right hand side, by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. because he's there by the right hand side of God, because he's over there and he's looking at his people there, here, at the believers here. He said, this is what I promised them, this is what I said I'll send forth to them, and he sent forth unto them, he will send it forth unto you. Look, come back now to Mark chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 20. Mark chapter 16, we're looking at verse 20. And they went forth, we're going forth. In his word, we're going forth. In his power, we're going forth. In his authority, we're going forth. With the message of the gospel, we're going forth. And it says, and they went forth and preached where? Everywhere. Tell me what follows there. The Lord walking with them. That's the source. That's the source. The source of the signs and wonders. The source of the miracles. It says, and the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Who is giving us the confirmation? I said, who is giving us the confirmation? God himself. Can he lie? No, he cannot lie, and that God is still the same today. The signs and the wonders are still being done because he did them, and he is the one that does the works. God is still the same. He has not changed. The Lord Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. And the Holy Spirit is still the same in power. And the same in influence, and the same in his office for the church. And the need of the world is still the same today. And look at what Jesus said concerning the world. He tells us in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 48. John chapter 4, verse 48. It says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. There are many people in the world, they're so sick, and you're preaching the gospel to them. They say, yes, I hear what you say. I cannot think of any other thing now. Look at my problem. And the Lord has given you the power that you'll say, okay, if that's the problem, and you pray, and they are healed. When they are healed, will they listen to you? Of course they listen. You know, some people have demon-possessed children, and you're preaching and preaching. It says, you know, my mind is not on any other thing now. Look at my boy. Look at my girl. And because of this problem, I've run here and there, and there's no solution. So, okay, if that's the problem, you say, in the name of Jesus, evil spirit, come out. Will that evil spirit come out? Of course it will come out, because these signs shall follow them that believe. And when they see the signs and the wonders, will they accept the message you are preaching to them? Of course they will. You know, you are doing some follow-up. Some people are preaching the gospel, and they give you the card. And then as you are doing the follow-up, you go to this man, you knock at the door, and then they open the door, and you say, I come here, and I'm inviting you to church. He said, church, please, don't talk about church now. I'm suffering. Look at this, and look at this, and look at that. And then he says, it's okay, let us pray. And then you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, remove your hand away from this family, and a miracle is performed. Yeah. Will they come to church? Yeah. Look at that verse. Look at that verse. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The needs are still there. And because the needs are still there, and the Lord has given us the promise, and he is the source of the miracles, the source of the signs, and the source of the wonders, and because we are connected with him, and we are linked up to him, these signs will follow us. Personal, these signs will follow me. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse 43. Acts chapter 2. Reading from verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You see, for all of us here today, as we get this, thank God we're going to get it. and these signs will follow us everywhere. All our community signs are following. All our communities see the sick are being healed. All our communities, demons are being cast out. All our community signs and wonders are taking place from the Lord through us. Many souls are going to come to the Lord. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2. We're reading here from verse 4. It tells us in verse 4, Hebrews chapter 2, God also bearing them witness. Who is the source of the miracle here? God. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and gifts and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. According to his own will. It's the will of God that those in your community should be saved. It's the will of God that those in your community should be healed. It's the will of God that those in your community, they'll be free from evil spirits, and God will go with you. He'll bear witness with you. There'll be signs, there'll be wonders, there'll be miracles, there'll be the gifts of the Spirit in Jesus' name. And let's look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and I'm reading from verse 12. We're looking at the source of confirmation, and it is the Almighty God himself that will make the confirmation in your ministry. I'm so happy that this coming week, we're going to see signs and wonders. In every community, we're going to see signs and wonders. They will follow you. They will follow you. Look up here. Look up here sometimes when you're going. If the sun is shining here, where is your shadow? If the sun is shining in your front. The sun is shining in your front. Where is your shadow? At your back. And then you are going. What's the shadow doing? Do you see that shadow? No, you don't see because it's at your back. But the Son of Righteousness, his name is Jesus Christ, is before you. It's shining on top of you. And the signs and the wonders like your shadow, what will they do? They'll be following you. They have to follow. You don't have to say, shadow, follow me. Just make sure the sun is there and you are facing the sun and you are moving and your shadow will be following. And the Son of Righteousness, his name is Jesus. It's in front of you. And as you are walking and you are doing what he has called you to do, praise the Lord, I see signs and wonders following you. It will follow you in Jesus' name. Now, if a woman is walking and the shadow is in front, the sun is in front, is there any shadow behind? Yes. Because she's a woman, will there be any shadow? Yes. Of course, yes. If it's a man, will there be any shadow? Yes. This one is for everybody. Yes. If it's for you, where are you there? It will follow you. Yes. I said it will follow you. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 12. Acts chapter 15, and I'm reading from verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. Look at this. Declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought. Who did the miracles in the life of Paul and Barnabas? Is God. God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Praise the Lord. I said somebody there, praise the Lord. Look at chapter 5, Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. I'm reading here from verse 12. It says in verse 12, and by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. It will happen again. In fact, come to verse 15. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets, that's in your street, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Look at this one now. Jesus said, you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. And now the sick are so many that Peter does not even have to lay his hand. And they only brought the sick people under a shadow. If the shadow of Peter can heal the sick, definitely your hand can heal the sick. The word of your mouth will heal the sick. Look at verse 16. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Tell me the rest. Tell me out aloud. And they were healed, everyone. And they were healed, how many? Everyone. Everyone, it will happen in Jesus' name. Shadow of Peter, the shadow of Peter, healing the sick, doing wonders and miracles. We're coming to Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, and I'm reading from verse 25. Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, verse 25. Are you there now? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And verse 26, tell me out aloud. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And tell me the word. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands loosed. The Lord will set them free. The shadow of Peter healed the sick. The singing of Paul and Silas broke all the bounds, and all their fetters were loosed. If you can sing, a miracle will happen. If you can pray, a miracle will happen. If you can lay hands, and a miracle will happen. It will happen in Jesus' name. The source of confirmation with breakthrough signs. Point number three now. The seal of continuation of biblical signs. The seal of continuation ways of biblical signs. We're coming back to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 17. Mark chapter 16. Reading from verse 17. And these signs shall follow them who? That believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, tell me, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, and what? And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. That word, amen. What's the amen there? It's because that amen is the seal. You know, sometimes when you write an important letter and you have put all the documents inside to show that this is coming from a point of authority, you put wax there and then you put the stamp of that company. And when they see that stamp, they see that that is not an ordinary letter. That letter, that document leaves your office, and the stamp of approval is there, and the seal is there, and they carry it any place. They're not even looking at the content of the letter now. They're looking at that final seal. It is the seal of continuation. Anywhere this document comes, honor this document. That word amen is God's seal of approval of all the declarations, of all the promises. And when you see that amen, it means this is the stamp of an unchanging assertion. And it is making divine pronouncement binding like an oath. Amen means so be it. Amen means so let it be. It is an endorsement of heaven. When you find that amen and you put that approval there, it's the endorsement of heaven, and it is for the fulfillment of a claimed benefit. That amen means that the words are affirmed and they are worthy of unquestioning trust. You cannot question it again. Look at the stamp there. Look at the seal there. Look at the approval there. Let me show you what that means. We're looking at 1 Kings. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 1. Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
1 Kings, we're looking at chapter 1. In 1 Kings chapter 1, we're looking at verse 35. 1 Kings chapter 1, reading from verse 35. Look at this, look at this. It says in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 35, then he shall come up after him, that he may come and sit on my throne. For he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. What had happened is Adonijah had taken the throne, had seized the throne, and then they came to Solomon, I saw it to David, and said, have you approved this? Is your stamp here? Is there an amen on this one? He said, no. Take everything I've told you and put Solomon there. Look at verse 36. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said,
amen.
The Lord God of my Lord, the king, says so too. That's amen. What amen means is that the God of heaven has said it so. You said it, there's an amen. The God of heaven approved that. The God of heaven says so too. It means, so let it be. It's an endorsement from heaven. So let it be. It's a confirmation of continuation from heaven. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. And I'm reading here from verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 28. And we're reading from verse 6. Jeremiah 28, verse 6. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, what did he say?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord do so. That's what amen means. That's an approval. That's a confirmation. Amen. The Lord do so. And then it says, the Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessel of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon unto this place. The amen there is an endorsement of God. Okay, you are prophesying. If that is from God, if that is the word of God, amen. So let it be. The God of heaven perform and do it. That's why I always say there's an amen in your life.
Amen.
And the God of heaven perform and confirm the miracles and the signs in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 20. To verse 22. Look at this. Second Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. All the promises of God. When he said, this I shall follow them, it's a promise. That shall follow them that believe in my name, they cast out devils. In my name, they speak with new tongues. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In my name, they'll take up serpents and throw them away. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he says, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God. God by us. Now, he which establisheth us with you is in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us. There's a sealing. There's an endorsement. And it's a final stamp of approval, of appointment. And then it says, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Amen. That amen will continue in your life.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 72. Psalm 72. We're looking at what amen means. That amen at the end of Mark. When he says amen, that these things will happen and the Lord will give us a confirmation, and then it finalizes everything and it says amen. As you go, amen.
Amen.
As you preach, amen.
Amen.
As you decree, amen.
Amen.
There's going to be a confirmation. Look at Psalm 72, Psalm 72, reading from verse 17, Psalm 72, verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the God and the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. That's all he does. That's all he does. Wonders, signs, and miracles. And blessed be the glorious name of forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You see, that's the confirmation, and that is the endorsement that the earth will be filled with the glory of God. And it says amen, amen, and amen. Now let's understand, when Jesus pronounced and said, "This sign shall follow them that believe," there is an amen. What that amen means, now look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Quickly, quickly. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That means all that is said in Mark chapter 16, this sign shall follow them. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the words he has spoken will not pass away. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 31. Mark chapter 13, we're reading from verse 31. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, look at the same thing is saying over here, giving us assurance and giving us approval and giving us endorsement. Mark chapter 13, verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I thought you'd say another amen. Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, and we're reading from verse 33. Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 33. In verse 33, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He said it in Matthew, he said it in Mark, he said it in Luke. That assures us all the promises he has given and what we have learned today will not pass away.
Yeah.
In your life, it will not pass away.
Yeah.
In our church, it will not pass away.
Yeah.
Signs and wonders will continue in our church.
Yeah.
Will continue in every house.
Yeah.
Will continue with every member. As you believe the Lord, remember, the sun may pass away, the moon may pass away, the stars may pass away, but these promises will never pass away. Finally, look at this in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, we're looking at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, we're looking at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, quickly, open your Bible, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Lord Jesus write, these things says the Amen. Now Jesus Christ says, I am the Amen. He says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the Amen. Is the final seal, is the final stamp, is the final surety and security of all the promises of God. Jesus is the affirmation and the confirmation of all the promises of God. Jesus is the assurance and insurance of the promises of God. When you buy a car, and then they say you must have insurance for this car, comprehensive insurance, so that if anything takes place at all, they say whatever happens, they'll give you a new car. Have you heard that before? Anything you insure, and Jesus Christ is the assurance and the insurance. All these promises, even if your Bible were to be burnt with fire, and you cannot see a copy of the Bible, Jesus, the insurance, will say, don't worry, all the promises there, there's still yes and amen in your life. That means then, as you believe the Lord, you know, he is the seal and the stamp of approval. He is the surety and the security. He is the affirmation and the confirmation. He is the assurance and the insurance. He is the guarantee and the warranty. You know, when you buy something, you know, and they give you 1 year guarantee. You've heard that before? And so, if anything fails, they say they'll repair it without any charge to you at all. And the Lord is giving you his guarantee, and he is the warranty. And Jesus said, this sign shall follow them that believe. And Jesus is the amen. And he says, whatever goes wrong, mention my name without any cost to you. Everything will be repaired in Jesus' name. Jesus is the certainty and the finality. The certainty and the finality. Once I call his name, there's an amen to all those promises, and all those promises are going to be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Jesus is the endorsement and the signature. It's the endorsement and the signature. You see, when you have signed, if you send your signature to, you know, to the bank, and then when you issue any check and you put that signature there, you don't even have to be there physically. Once your signature is there, whatever amount you are claiming is going to come to you. And you see, Jesus has his signature in the bank of heaven. I said he has his signature in the bank of heaven. In the bank of heaven, there are spare eyes that God gives to those who are blind. In the bank of heaven, there are spare legs that God gives to those who are lame. In the bank of heaven, there are spare kidneys that God gives to those whose kidneys are packed up. And once you apply there and you put this amen, the name of Jesus, that is the endorsement and that is the signature, that missing part will come back in your body. And so all the promises of God are yes and amen. And now these signs shall follow who today? Amen. I said who today? Amen. All of us that believe in his name, you'll cast out devils. In his name, you'll speak with new tongues. In his name, you'll take up serpents and throw them away. In his name, if you drink any deadly sin, it will not hurt you. You will not die prematurely. If Jesus tarries, I will see you again. Amen. I said, I will see you again. Amen. Because there's a work for you to do, it will prolong your life in Jesus' name. Amen. And then you will lay, what are you going to lay? I can't see their hands. Anointed hands, where are they? You lay those hands on the sick, what will happen? They will recover. And then the final word is, it is done. Yeah. Rise up and tell the Lord, it is done, it is done. This is going to be confirmed in your life. There's a confirmation in your life. There's a confirmation in your life. Jesus is the amen, is a seal, and is a stamp. Is a security, is a surety. Is the affirmation, is a confirmation. Is the assurance, is the insurance. Is the guarantee, is the warranty. Is the certainty, is the finality. It's the endorsement, it's the signature of all the promises of God. You will never be the same again. A new power is coming upon your life. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. It is being done right now.